this is King Alfonso at Medieval Times.
This is the Red Knight, champion of the King's Tournament. You're listening to the Stephen Spencer Show.
Hello!
Hello, friends.
Welcome. This is the Stephen Spencer Show, episode 10. It is Sunday, the year of our Lord, in January 14th, 2007.
Have you seen the Mage's Guild? I'm seeing it.
I'm firing a magic missile straight up your asses.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
What's going on?
I don't know.
It's episode 10, guys.
That's right. We hit 10. How's it feel?
A little sad.
I'm faking it, but I'll get there.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
What's doing?
Not much. How about you?
I'm still in my crisis, actually. You see movies? Movies everyone's seeing. I saw Children of Men.
All right, you know what? You're not modding anymore. I hate to have to run the whole fucking show. Behind the scenes, on the scenes, everywhere. It's my show. It's the Dean show. Episode one.
I got 20 people here to distract us.
Yeah.
That's my job.
So we've all seen a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Right? A bunch of new movies. Probably the best movies that are going to be released this year we've seen in the first week of the year.
Yeah, probably.
So we have nothing to look forward to, so we should kill ourselves.
Yeah, probably.
I'm waiting for Day of the Dead 2007 to come out.
That's what it's called? Day of the Dead 2007?
I think so. It's a remake. And Hostel 2 is coming out.
No, you're...
I'm into terrible horror movies.
You're a moron. Sorry.
What can I do? But I know I loved Children of Men. I saw Children of Men. Well, I thought it was called Brothers of Men.
We'll get into that. Me and Pete saw Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yes, yeah? We did.
The other night in New York City.
What's the deal with that? Because I keep seeing promos for it. I have no idea.
Really?
I've never seen
a promo for it. I just heard about it from friends. And
I actually knew nothing about it before I went to see it. I kept on seeing the billboards for it, like on top of taxis. And I was like, that looks kind of cool.
The billboards that I saw on the taxis after we saw the movie,
looked
very Silent Hill-ish almost. Didn't it have that claw hand, right?
Yeah, it was the claw hand, but it didn't look like a horror movie to me. Like, I could tell it was sort of a fantasy type thing. I don't know. It looked kind of cool.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I liked the movie a lot. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
What's the deal with it exactly? Give me a synopsis.
All right. And we're a spoiler-free show.
Okay. Fair enough. Right,
what's on your T-shirt? Knows. You just took your T-shirt off, and there's zombies hugging each other?
Monsters on my T-shirt. Oh, okay. No, I got really hot.
All right,
fucking hot in here.
So this Pan's Labyrinth, it's like a, I guess it's a schizophrenic fantasy, maybe.
Yeah, I mean it's a movie with fantasy elements. It's kind of a war movie too, a little bit. Yeah,
it's like there's a two things going on at once: a reality kind of war rebellion going on top of this young girl's fantasies, and it's really cool. The visuals are really cool. There's fawns.
There's a fawn.
There's a fawn.
A fawn.
And fairies. And,
yes,
there are fairies.
Fairies.
Oh, my girlfriend loves fairies.
But they're not typical fairies, so she might not like the fairies.
Are they
much.
Scary fairies?
A little bit.
She doesn't like scary fairies.
They're a little creepy.
Very creepy. The whole movie was a little creepy.
And this movie has nothing to do with David Bowie Labyrinth deal, right? Totally different movie?
No, it's not David Bowie's Labyrinth. It's Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes. If it was David Bowie's Labyrinth, it'd be a different story.
But I mean, the movie was gory. It's like really, really, like overly gory almost.
Not for kids, really?
No, absolutely. Well, it's also with subtitles, too.
It's in Spanish, the movie.
Yeah. You gotta be fucking kidding
but,
me.
But
it's not that outlandish. They do make movies.
I thought it was totally different.
A couple of people have made Spanish language movies before.
No, that's not true.
I think John Leguizamo was the first Spanish actor in the U.S., and he sort of brought them all over.
were all the characters wearing those frilly shirts?
Every single one. They were all Spanish pirates.
Were they wearing sombreros?
No.
I saw a guy in a sombrero and a poncho walking in the city.
That's Mexico. That's great. It's totally different.
But no, it was very, very, very...
It was
very gory,
extremely violent. Like, I didn't even realize it while we were watching it, but when we walked out, I was like, "That was probably one of the most violent movies I've ever seen."
Yeah, like you don't really realize it at first. There's scenes like where actually was like, "This is going too far. They're taking it too far. Why are you taking this far?"
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a kid's movie. Might actually love it, but
you would really enjoy some seconds of this movie.
All right.
But and I was thinking about it, and I actually brought it up to my father because he had brought. I actually first heard about it from him because he was like, "I really want to see Pan's Labyrinth. Like, you know, it looks really interesting." And you know, I told him, I got back and he's like, "How was it?" I'm like, "It was really, really good." I'm like, "You know, it was really, like, really disturbing scenes though." And he's like, "Well, supposedly that's because, you know, like he had heard that it was supposed to be really disturbing, kind of show how horrifying this girl's existence was."
That's what
and
I,
why she was trying to escape.
That's what I took from it too. Like I thought it was also supposed to be like
your mic just died.
It's cutting in and out. Yeah.
Wow, terrific!
That's it. And you slapped me in the face too.
Shit! I hope that doesn't happen again.
All right,
let's hope not.
Yeah.
All right. But I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah. That's why I thought they were trying to make it the real world so horrible that like almost outlandishly horrible.
It's really. Really bad.
To sort of prove a point about her fantasy world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't seen it, definitely go see it if you can find it. It's wider release now, right?
Yeah, they just released it wide this week.
Oh, really?
Okay. I mean, when we were waiting to go into the midnight showing that we went to,
we were supposed to go to the 10, and it was sold out all day, I suppose.
Yeah, the guy said it was sold out all day. Yeah. So I think people are going to see it.
Unbelievable.
Good.
And we all saw. Did anyone else see anything else?
Yeah, we all saw Children of Men.
All right.
Yes.
All of us separately, too, right, which is kind of funny.
That is really weird. Yeah. I went totally alone the other night.
Really?
And
Siobhan didn't go with you?
No, I was having a bit of a hard night.
How do you feel about going to movies by yourself? Do you do it often?
No,
I used to do it all the time.
I used to do it all the time, too.
It's nice when you're in the mood for it.
I wasn't even in the mood for it.
Really?
I just kind of need to clear my head.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Some people do it a lot. And that kind of, it's kind of, I go, it's hard, to, it's, there's a very fine line between sad and cool.
This was between sad and cool.
Well, I think most of your life is in between sad and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really fucking, I loved it.
I thought it was awesome.
I actually thought it was like, I thought it was going to be like an independent film. I hadn't heard anything about it except for like what you roughly told me. I'm like, what did I tell you? You told me the synopsis of the story, but I had never heard
it before.
We talked
about
it? Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it. What do you know? And I think I said
post-apocalyptic, and I think you probably stopped listening. You were like, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, immediately. But I don't have TV, so I don't see if there's any commercials. I have no idea how much hype there is on the movie, but it was incredible.
I had just stumbled on the trailer on Rotten Tomatoes like the week before Christmas.
Right.
Like I'd never heard of the movie before. And then I saw the trailer and I got like goosebumps watching the trailer. And I'm like, this is so good. And it came out on Christmas, like small release, like only in the city. And like I was actually going to spend Christmas in the city just trying to find it. But
that's sad.
But yeah.
But Pete didn't like it.
What didn't he said it was the worst movie he's ever seen in his life. And then actually pulled his pants down and farted in the theater.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that's really 90% true.
What didn't you like about it?
I thought it was just corny. I thought it was while I was watching it, I was actually enjoying it. Like, this is kind of cool. And then I came out of it and thought about everything that I just seen. I was like, that is a cornball movie.
What was so corny about it, though?
I think it was trying to be more serious than it actually was. I think it was sort of like not as smart as it wanted to be.
Well, these are my thoughts, and I told them a little bit to you.
Yeah.
Was when I was watching it, I was thinking very much like this is almost like this is written as a video game, and then they said screw it, let's make the movie.
That was sort of the problem I had. That's why I thought it was corny. Not that I thought it was a bad movie, because actually I liked the movie.
All right.
I've seen much worse movies recently, but I didn't. Also, and now that I have 600 people telling me how awesome it was, I'm starting to think like, why do you guys think it's awesome? Like, are you also corny? Are you personally corny?
One of the things...
Do I hang out with corny people?
Is it now like a thing of like the whole world likes it, so fuck it, I gotta hate it more?
Yeah, I don't always get like that, but when it's something that I actually didn't like and people start really liking it, like I start thinking like, you guys fucking retarded.
For me, that's Sublime. I cannot stand Sublime.
I can't stand
yeah,
Sublime.
Yeah, I think all of us hate Sublime.
Thank God.
Sublime and Peaches are enemies of the Stephen Spencer show.
Ross is making the...
Sublime face.
Ross is making some sort of sublime face at me.
I thought the movie was awesome. Even though, like, the whole video game thing that I just said, I liked it. Because it was like, you know, it's kind of like it had some typical moments of, like, the only way they could possibly get through this. No spoilers. They could possibly get through this is by this happening. It was, like, very, like, almost video game event script.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it completely in those moments of, like, it's, you know, a movie. It's entertaining, and it's still... Fucking! I mean, I walked out of the theater, and the only thing I could say is "Holy shit!"
The only thing you could say was "Children of Men, Children of Men."
No,
Children
no.
Of
I
men.
Just I looked at Madeline and I was like, I can't think. I don't know what to say. And then I kept saying "Holy shit" to myself. And then I said, "Holy shit!" And yeah, so I don't care. It was video game scripting, some typical stuff.
What I liked about it,
it was awesome.
I liked about it exactly what you were supposed to like about it, which I hate. But
what were you supposed to like about it? Sorry, I'm talking to my beard.
The fact that it's in the future, but it's not futuristic at all, with the exception of some like computer screens and advertising things you see and whatever. Like they did it purposely. Is like everything is pretty much the exact same thing.
Well, that was kind of. I mean,
it's
I don't
not
wanna,
Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Well, I
liked Back to the Future 2 better than Children of Men. But
are you serious?
No.
Michael Caine wasn't in Back to the Future 2.
Should have been. But when I was talking about the corny politics of the whole thing, I don't want to spoil the movie, but basically I think what the plot of the movie was sort of like this. You know, things are really bad in Rwanda. They're really bad. And in Africa, they're bad in all these places. Let's see what happens if we put white people in that position, which is sort of like the whole, that's a post-apocalyptic thing. It's like, we're going to show you white people in third world country conditions.
Yeah, actually, that's a good.
So that you get wrapped up in it.
But I got wrapped up in Hotel Rwanda or whatever that movie was called.
I'm sure none of these people saw Hotel Rwanda.
I've really? Never seen it.
It was really it was a powerful movie
because it's not a science fiction movie.
Yeah,
with white
that's
people.
That's just reality.
Yeah.
No, I don't, I thought. excuse me. I thought I don't know. I thought it was good. I really liked it.
I thought it was great. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was probably the best movie of the decade.
I thought the girl, the main girl in it.
I liked Pan's Labyrinth much better.
The character Key, I thought her acting was horrible. Like her lines were delivered so poorly, but I think that
it was video game acting as well as video game scripting, I think, was what was going on there.
You're an asshole.
I know.
You don't agree with me. So
I like the
asshole.
Car. Did you think that the car? I'm afraid I'm going to spoil it. You know the car part in when they're all at the refugee house and they're
And their hand movement
without the. Did you like that part at all?
Yeah, sure.
I thought the concept of that part was really.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I thought there were so many good ideas in the movie. Even if some were a little typical, it was still awesome, and it gripped me, and it was powerful.
I hate you.
I hate you too. You're a fucking asshole, and you're a moron. Both you and Alex.
Why is Alex included in this?
Because she didn't like it that much either. You both fuck yourself.
Alex, you didn't like it, but did you like it less than Pete?
Yeah,
I liked it less than Pete.
She liked it less than
me. She's a bigger fucking asshole.
Well, looks like we're divided.
All right. Well, I mean, it's smarter on this side of the room.
Movie and it's just like a video game. What's the fucking
Did you fuck off? It's a good movie. Who gives a shit?
Did you like Doom? The movie Doom? Did you go see that?
The movie Doom was excellent.
Amazing. Okay.
What do you mean, what's that supposed to mean? What's the point?
What's the point of what?
I just play a video game. This was
okay, well, it's not a video. It's a fucking... If they made the game, I'd definitely buy it and play it, too.
It's completely catered to video game players.
Did you like... did you go see Resident Evil?
Yes.
What do you think of Resident Evil?
I liked it, but it was a video game movie from a video game.
Did you...
Resident Evil... Gotcha.
I fucking hated Resident Evil.
I loved the whole thing.
I thought it was a piece of shit movie.
I enjoyed...
Well, this is gonna. We're gonna talk about the book, right?
I've been on a very post-apocalyptic kick.
Well, I just, I got something. I got something
for you, the book, or talk. For.
Well, it goes with both.
All right. Well, I've been in a very gray world.
Me too.
You're talking personally. I'm talking. Outside.
All right.
Because, I've been playing Gears of War, post-apocalyptic game. Been seeing Children of Men. Every hour of every day. It's so great. And it makes me smarter every time I see it. And I also, I picked up...
where is the book? It's right in front of you.
It's directly in front of you. You've been touching it the entire
iPod,
time.
Yeah. This awesome book. Probably the best book that I've read in the best book from the past few years.
Hold on, the best
don't move.
Movie ever, and then the
everything's
best,
the best.
On, Dean's wearing a knight's vest, holding his iPod like a wand. Don't even.
I read this book, came out 2006 by Cormac McCarthy. It's called The Road. Okay. If you're into reading, which I know
I'm not,
some of us here in this room aren't.
Hate it. Sorry.
I'll give it to you in a sec. I'm sorry. I need to take some excerpts from it.
Russ,
I'm going to read the whole book. If
easy,
you don't mind.
Ross. Lunging over the table for the book.
The Road. It's I gotta recommend it. Actually, I was reading Games for Windows magazine. It used to be a CGW magazine.
Okay.
And they had an interview. They had an article about writing in video games and why writing is not so good and what makes good writing. And some of the people were talking about what they're reading now. And one of them brought up Cormac McCarthy's The Road. And so I was like, I'm gonna check it out. And it's really the best book ever written. And I'm gonna read the whole book to you. Right now,
okay. Yeah,
sounds good.
Here we go.
No. It's. I'll read the insert. That way you know what it's
about.
You're
gonna read the whole.
Read
insert?
The first five chapters.
No, read the insert. All right. This is
just
what the
read
book's
the last
about.
Paragraph. That's what we know.
A father and his son walk alone through burned America, post-apocalyptic. Nothing moves in the ravaged landscape save the ash on the wind. It is cold enough to crack stones, and when the snow falls, it is gray. The sky is dark. Their destination is the coast, although they don't know what, if anything, awaits them there. They have nothing, just a pistol to defend themselves against the lawless bands that stalk the road, the clothes they are wearing, a cart of scavenged food, and each other.
That's awesome.
Road is the profoundly moving story of a journey. It boldly imagines a future in which no hope remains, but in which the father and his son, each the other world's entire, are sustained by love. Awesome is the totality of its vision. It is an unflinching meditation on the worst and the best that we are capable of, ultimate destructiveness, desperate tenacity, and the tenderness that keeps two people alive in the face of total devastation.
You doing that.
That would have been awesome with the German accent.
Well, I was just...
That's so awesome.
We can start it over again. I was just thinking that could have sparked the Dean reading books on podcast.
Actual Dean reading books on a podcast or a podcast about Dean reading books on a podcast? Like a fan
well,
podcast.
Dean could do the books podcast and then we'll do the podcast right. Talking awesome. About what he did. Like, did you hear me? He went on for 7 hours straight.
No, but seriously, I bought it, I think, when we were at Barnes & Noble's on Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday, I think, Madeline?
Perhaps.
And I picked it up and I finished
around,
it by Friday. I was
what,
done.
Exactly what time were you there?
I was there at Barnes & Noble's 8 o'clock.
All right.
I bought the book at 9:20-ish. I started reading that night and I was done by Thursday, by Friday.
That's good. That's good when you find the book that you really like.
I asked Dean earlier in the week. I said, how the fuck did you make it through an entire book in just like a few days?
Well, the thing is, this guy is like... Ross is already halfway through the book. Holy crap. See, it's a fast read. This guy is like the master of brevity, I guess you could say.
He's very brave.
He's very brave. Like, anyone else who wrote this... I can't believe Ross is flipping through the entire book right now, reading like random...
Ross is a smart guy. He wears glasses like Pete.
But, page flipping.
I've read it a second time. I'm
going to
read it backwards now.
Input. Number 5. Sorry.
What?
Short circuit reference.
Short circuit.
What the fuck?
I missed that. Sometimes I calm myself down. I repeat the entire plot for Short Circuit 2 in my head. Like, and then it becomes an American citizen, and then it gets gold-plated, and it soothes me.
But we've entered a very weird...
Anybody else who wrote this book, it would have been 2 to 3 times as long. Like, it is so to the point,
right.
Yet it creates, like, such visuals and, like, leaves... I don't know, it's really tense without really focusing on the tension. It's just, like, it's just very short. The guy doesn't even use quotes. When people speak, it's just part of the paragraph.
Yeah,
do you think maybe he went through the book and edited it a whole bunch and cropped it?
I think that was his first... I think he just wrote it and didn't even look at it and just put it out to the publisher.
Well, right. from what I've read, in the 30 seconds that I read the book,
yeah.
It looks like there are parts where there are chapters that lead up to a story... about the chapter, like there's a story part to it, and then he's literally got scenes written that they're written in a way so that you can almost visualize the events happening.
Yeah, it's very just to the point, very direct. I could read the whole book if you want right now.
If you can, yeah.
I have a...
Did he also write plays and
he's a famous
one. All the Pretty Horses, Blood Married on Child of God, Cities of the Plain.
So again, we're talking about Cormac McCarthy, The Road, and...
It came out 2006, so it's we're a couple months behind.
You're totally on this post-apocalyptic kick. I have less of a problem than I used to, but I used to have a serious problem with people that made post-apocalyptic stories or were into them.
Why?
Because I feel like there's a big sort of Christian, conservative Christian population in our country who are also obsessed with the post-apocalypse.
Well,
they want things to be as bad as possible.
Well, because that means they go to heaven faster.
I don't know if that. Or no, the sinners. I think they want to be. They want to be left. Those people don't want to go to heaven. They want to be left with a shotgun, Mad Maxing it through the United States.
Well, I think that's kind of nice. I felt that way sometimes in my life, and that's usually when there's no hope and I'm just desperate. I'm like, the world's gonna fucking end anyways. So I mean, I'm just gonna shoot people.
That was basically Children of Men, though. A sort of wish fulfillment there.
Fuck off.
I'm just saying. Also, the road. That's what it sounds like. It's fucking the post-apocalypse. Right,
you want to bash the road too?
I'm gonna bash the road too. I told you I'm gonna be a bitch.
I'm gonna go all fucking wine. I'm gonna go all wine bottle on your face.
All right, let's go. Bring it.
I'm gonna smash your head open.
I'm having problems.
Hey, Craig
is in the post-apocalyx.
I'm a post-apocalyx. I'm having an apocalypse in my soul. As we heard last week.
You've been very down.
I haven't really left the apartment in 2 weeks.
I received a text message from you the other day.
He's going to read it.
You saved
it?
Oh, no.
I save all my text messages. All
right, here we go.
Scared.
It was
I don't even remember what I wrote. I'm a little scared. Shit.
No, it's passed to Chris Elliott to speak with Pete Toms. I got a text message from Craig. What are you doing tonight? And I said, that was like Wednesday night. And I'm like, I was so tired. I'm like, nothing. I'm just staying in. And then you wrote back, I want to feel like I have a life. And I wrote, I'm sorry, you can come over and play Xbox Live arcade games with me. And then you wrote, I think I need a job. I'm a personal depressed mess. I feel hollow. This is all in text messages, too.
Yeah.
And
did I write anything else really insane? Jesus. I don't even remember writing that.
And you never wrote back after that.
Yeah.
I invited you over, but you never wrote back.
I never
showed
up.
So I just, like, played Xbox anyways.
I'm flattered you saved the message so you could look back on it over and over. Yeah, man. I don't know what the hell. I feel creatively barren. I feel socially barren. I went out. We tried to go to New York City the other day, and nothing was especially wrong, but we got to the city. And we were going to go ice skating, so we get literally feet from the rink. And like, Siobhan looks at me, and she could tell something was wrong. And I didn't even feel like I was doing anything. I didn't feel like I was saying anything, or I had anything on my face that would show I'm upset or anything. But I wasn't even upset. I was just dead inside. And everything I looked, I excused myself. I had to go blow my nose, so I had to go to a snack stand for
you
a napkin.
You excuse yourself to blow
your nose? I excuse myself to blow my nose.
You're not allowed to stand by your girlfriend when you blow your nose? Does she make you leave?
Step by step, she sat, I walked, and then I came back. But upon my journey...
Journey to the post-apocalyptic soul.
Through the wasteland to the sandwich stand. I'm online, and there's a guy...
To blow your nose?
I was online to blow my nose. There's a long line of people blowing their nose, but there was a guy in his nice New York outfit and this woman in her New York outfit, and they're all dressed like Sex in the City, and I'm just like, I'm waiting for the camera crew to come around, and I felt like it was all fake, and everything around me...
Welcome to New York.
The conversations around me were so fucking styrofoam. Like, it was like, I don't even know, the guy handed off something to, like, his daughter, and it was, his daughter was just like... This perfect
little
girl. It just, everyone around me was just like this package deal.
Where were you guys?
We were in Bryant Park in New York City at the rink. There's free ice skating until the 15th.
if you want to feel hollow and go ice skating.
You just get paid do you get paid $2 for saying that right now?
But I felt so empty. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for someone to yell cut. I'm like... So I walked back and we're like, do you feel like going? And no, like we both felt like there was a dark cloud over what we were going to try and do, which was have a great day. That night we're going to go out to a jazz club. All this shit. And there was nothing especially wrong. There was nothing. There was literally nothing.
Yeah, you're just empty.
Totally empty. And that's how I felt for the past 2 weeks. And I've tried to write. I can't write. I've tried to record. Can't record. Like every time I start up something, I can't. I look back on music I've done, look forward, and I'm like totally empty.
You know what you need? The apocalypse. Because then you'll be okay, because the rest of the world's just as bad off as you are.
I'm not going to lie. I pray. That's why I'm so obsessed with zombies. I pray for the fucking zombie apocalypse.
I think
to come.
That's why most people are into zombies.
I'm ready. I want change so bad, and I want.
It's just a reflection of what you want personally into the that you wish it upon the rest of the world.
That's gotta
be. I hit the same place. A lot.
Today's Sunday, tomorrow I'm calling a therapist and I'm gonna start therapy.
We could just hang out. We'll get some coffee if you don't want to spend the cash.
We could. I'll give you $10 every
That's
time.
Cool, man. Yeah, buy me coffee.
But it's I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I feel there's nothing. I don't know. I'm mental.
You're probably just an asshole.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
You know what it is? It's a Saddam video, subconsciously.
Since then, you've been nuts.
It's not the Saddam video. All right. So this brings me to the thing. Dina's brought up in the past faking it, quote unquote faking it. You where Siobhan and I would have gone to the ice rink and got on. Just go. Let's have a good time. Once we get on, we'll have a good time. At that point, we both felt like, you know what? We're going to do that. I know it's for the best, but we both agreed it's going to just turn out.
It.
Yeah, we'd be faking right. it, and that's not
Here's the
cool.
thing. Normally, I'm against faking it.
Okay.
I used to be against faking it. Now, I think I'm for it.
I'm going to agree. I'm pro faking it in every possible situation. Artistically, just day-to-day life, I'm all for fake everything.
Yeah, I've been faking it for 2 weeks now.
But I've been faking it for 15 years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. All right, Dean's wearing a knight's vest. You guys went to medieval times.
I bought this vest with just a frown. I spent $17 on this vest with a frown on. Just like
you were angry.
I was like,
vest?
How much is this? She's like $16.95. I'm like, all right.
And,
I handed her my card. And I put it on and I put my jacket on over it. And I walked back to the group.
and the girl turned to her friend at the stand and said, "That guy just bought a vest and covered it up."
Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, we're sitting there and everyone's screaming for like black and white. And I'm like, I don't feel it at all, but you know what? And I just started screaming.
What were you screaming?
Frankenstein.
Why?
Because it rhymed with black and white. Black right. and white, Frankenstein. And I thought our guy looked a little cool, so I wanted to call him Frankenstein.
Did he have bolts sticking out of his neck?
No. It was an endearing term. It was a good show, but I wasn't paying attention.
What were you
doing?
That was a problem. I was there too, and I also could not concentrate on medieval times.
Yeah.
I
don't know
what were you concentrating? Were you wearing a medieval vest as well?
I was not. I was eating vegetables and thinking about other things. I couldn't pay attention to the
So even with people being jousted off of horses, yeah, you just sat there.
There were some exciting. I started getting into it at the end, but I think that was the beers kicking in.
Yeah, a good buzz makes everything.
But there was
more
this
exciting.
There was this guy in front of us. This guy wasn't faking it.
He was into
it.
This guy was like 100%. This guy was military, I think. And he had cut off sleeve T-shirt, which Pete says that he ripped his sleeves off during the show. And he was standing up and he was screaming so hard that his like neck was bulging and his eyes were like half popping out, going black and white.
Maybe he had money on the game.
And like his girlfriend was getting up and doing like a little hip dance and like
hip. Was there music? Why was she doing
it? It was just like
dance?
they were crazy. We took pictures of them.
Really? They were just really excited. The best was that's going on and it's like the end and our night was like second to last or something like that. He's fighting some other guy and the guy's screaming. I was like, I really really hope our knight loses just so I could see this guy's expression when he loses, and he did. And the guy actually just sort of screamed. Kind of waved his hand and then like really slowly sat down. Like, it was seriously the end of his life.
Yeah, like,
right there.
Yeah, it was a life-changing experience.
In the peak of it, I started standing up too, screaming. I was like, I kept screaming. I'm like, high five, trying to get his attention and get a high five from him. Because that would have made my night.
Why?
I would have stolen his soul and then been really into it.
Oh, by touching his hand with a high five?
But no,
hip shake like his
the whole wife? The whole night, back to your topic. The whole night I was fake. The whole night I was faking it.
Okay.
Because otherwise I just sit there.
Why wouldn't you have enjoyed it? It sounds. I've never been. It sounds entertaining.
It was entertaining. I was really not in. I've been really out of it lately.
I'll be honest. I didn't go because I was fucking depressed.
Yeah.
For no reason.
And it's $52.
That's whatever. I'll deal.
But no, I was faking. I was screaming along Frankenstein. You know, but there were a couple of points where faking it, I was like, I'm kind of enjoying faking it. I'm screaming, but I kind of feel good.
Enjoying faking it or enjoying medieval.
There's a couple
times.
Times where faking it actually turned into actually into really liking
That's
it.
That's what happens.
And then you know, back. Sometimes you just have to be like, this is what I've come to. I'm a miserable fuck. It's just part of me. But if you
it's reading
if you
all
wanna,
those post-apocalyptic
books. But I don't want to be a miserable piece of shit. You
me
know?
Neither.
And so like sometimes I just gotta go. You know what? I'm not gonna. It's this whole world's bigger than me. other people are enjoying themselves. I'm not going to bring it down. So fuck it. I'll fake it until I get to where I'm at. And exactly it sounds kind of wrong. It sounds kind of like that's stupid. Whatever. You get by how you get by.
So how do you
fake it?
You know, it's not just
smile all the time. Laugh all the time. Just go, I'm happy. I'm happy. Siobhan, look how happy I am.
So much is faking it. Like, well, hold on. Let me finish and then you go. It's not so much faking it. It's going through the motions. Like, you're like, okay, I'm not really going to have a good time at Medieval Times, so I'm going to go along for the ride.
Wait, yeah. Russ, get it right up on the mic.
I'm not really going to have a good time, so I'm just going to go along with it and see how it goes. So you go to Medieval Times, and you're like, okay, this sucks, but I'm going to be there anyway, and I want to be there for, like, you know, it was Madeline's birthday, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to be there for my girlfriend, it's her birthday. So then you started finding things that you could, like you bought that. You bought that even though you didn't really want it,
yeah,
but how
best.
Much fun are we having with it now? I walked in and saw, like, I enjoyed it.
You're enjoying
like,
it. I'm not, but you're enjoying it, so yeah. That's good. I'm glad you are.
I enjoy it, too.
You know, you put it on, you're getting a response, it's good, and, like, then you found something at Medieval Times. You were going through the motions. It may not have been the best time in the world, but then you're like, oh, there's a crazy Marine guy in front of me and his mullet girlfriend. And, like, so, like, yeah, it's not so much faking it as going through the motions. Like, you don't have to fake it. Sometimes faking it is good. Like, when you meet someone that's a complete racist or idiot, and then you're like, you just kind of play along. Even though, like, you know,
hey, what are you talking about?
And
then you go
and
burn
then,
a cross
like,
on someone's lawn. No, and you're just like, yeah, this is cool.
I know exactly.
You kill a couple people.
About.
You know.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you go along with the motion in the hope that you can find some kind of amusement along the way, and you did.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know.
I do that with everything in life, though.
Yeah.
Not just Medieval Times.
So what makes us happy? What's going to make us happy in the end? What's going to...
There are things that make us
happy. I've been happy. I don't know what's wrong with
me. I think you're looking for sort of one thing to make you happy. You don't need it. You got a lot of little things to make you happy, right? You don't need that one thing.
Every day is
the one thing. Every day is different.
Do you guys maybe want to sleep over tonight?
Sure.
No. I can't breathe in your apartment.
Okay. All right, with that, we actually have a guest in the studio, which we need to get to, because I think he has to piss really bad.
I got to piss bad, too.
Everyone's got to piss, so we got
to
take a
we'll
break.
We'll say hi to him, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Matt.
Guys, Matt Olson,
hi.
Performer, rocketeer extraordinaire.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
And he wears sweaters. Okay. He's wearing a sweater. It's nice.
Thanks.
But we're going to take a break,
Matt's
going to
come
we're
back.
We're going out to a band called Dealership, who me and Alex over there on the couch... Turns out she knew about them because they're. I found out about them through this one girl who used to work at Ziff Davis, a video game magazine company, Jane Pinkard, whatever.
Pink.
And she's in this band, and it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
And the band's called Dealership.
All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Matt Olson, and he's going to play some music for us. So Dealership for the break.
If I can get here, we go.
Hit it hard.
Push your doubts aside.
we're back.
We are.
And that was, what was that again?
That was Dealership. Go to dealerkids.com. They got some cool stuff.
Excellent.
California-based.
All right, so we got someone special. This is actually our first in-studio performance. It's going to be legendary.
Kiss?
Better than Kiss.
The Jewish Kiss.
Better than the Jewish Kiss. It's Matt Olson. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Matt, tell the people what you do normally.
Normally, I played drums, you know?
Oh.
I play for a band called Kevin Patrick.
And we actually had Kevin Patrick on the show. Was it the first episode or the second episode?
Like three or four.
All right. Earlier episode, Kevin Patrick was on. So Matt is his backup, back man, head guy. And Matt has actually been on tour with me. It's been fun.
That's fun.
What I've heard.
He's probably the deepest guy I know. And he's like, how old are you now?
My asshole?
You You're a deep kid.
I'm 17 now.
You're really deep.
Boy.
Shit.
He's very mature for his age.
I can drive.
More mature than I am. I cried on Matt's shoulder in Austin, Texas. I did.
Yeah, you cried in the middle of the night on the way to Albuquerque.
I did. Oh, I really did. I really, really did. Matt, how long have you been playing? Like all sorts of things.
I started sixth grade, so that would be 6 years now.
Playing drums, right?
Yes, playing drums. I've been playing guitar since sophomore year, so three, I'm gonna say.
And, 3 years. You actually, what other instruments can you play?
Trombone, that's a good one.
Can you play piano? I can't remember.
No, but I do know how it works.
What about violin? Matt actually picked up a violin at the end of that tour
I gave
we were
up on.
On
that already.
Not happened.
That's in the closet.
Yeah,
but before I went in, he was taking a serious approach to it.
I was.
You wore it well.
Well, it broke a little bit.
That's sad. It was kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Did you just start singing songwriting, or like,
no,
have you gigged out yet with this?
I've been doing a lot of gigs in my bedroom.
How's the turnout?
That's good.
A lot of heads.
You have cats?
No, I don't have. I have a dog.
He's got a dog.
Yeah, I play for my dog all the time.
Too. Dogs make bad audiences.
He's an asshole.
I like cats better.
The dogs
yeah.
don't buy any merchandise.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Good.
You got sick merch, bro?
Yeah, dude.
Matt's applying for Berklee, for College of Music. I have tempted Matt over and over with terrible tours, and he refuses to do it because he wants a better education. What do you want to do with your music exactly?
Well, I'm gonna. Planning on a double major sort of thing, where I'm going to do music performance as one major so I can learn, you know, what I'm doing, what I want to do. And then the other major is music education. So if I want to grow up and be a big boy and get a job, I can teach.
Okay.
If the apocalypse comes, you're not going to grow up, you're going to die.
Yeah, if the apocalypse comes, this college bullshit is...
I should really be planning for the apocalypse more.
You should.
I'm registering to get a gun license ASAP. Yeah, so I have a shotgun.
What do you want personally? Like
personally, I want to be a studio artist, a session drummer.
You do have upcoming gigs.
I do.
You want to talk about those?
Sure. I got next Sunday. I'm going to be playing the open mic night at Cool Beans
in Oradell, New Jersey.
It's a really nice little place, little joint. And then February 2nd, my regular band, Kevin Patrick. It's going to be playing in Hackensack, and I'm probably going to open.
Where in Hackensack?
At the Hackensack Cultural Arts Center.
I never knew they had that.
Oh, well. Yeah, they have plays there. It's a lot of fun.
Really?
They have air conditioning in the summer.
That's nice.
Yeah. I
like central air.
Yeah, the details will be on our website.
Oh, yeah, give that out.
We got a MySpace. We don't have a real website. It's myspace.com/KevinPatrick.
All right, Matt. Give it to us. Hit it hard.
All right.
Yeah.
Love you.
Back in the news. Love you, man.
We are hunters of whales. We sip the finest ales. We are men of the sea through certain death. We are men of the sea. For months on end, we ride the waves in beautiful ships made of glory and brawn. I can't live on solid ground. Can't get along with landlocked folk. We are hunters of whales. We sip the finest ales. We are men of the sea through certain death. We are men of the sea. All year round, we face the horrors of a life at sea. My birthday has been
Matthew Olson, people.
Thank you.
That's kick ass, man.
Now get out of my, now to get out of Craig's house. Now.
Leave.
Hurry up.
Son of a bitch.
You have roller skates?
Faster.
And we are back with
the news. The news.
There's marshmallows flying everywhere. Oh my god.
Have you guys been listening to the news?
No. I haven't read the papers. I have no idea what's going on in the world.
I'm shooting a marshmallow gun at all the fucking righties and lefties because you're all a bunch of motherfuckers. Sorry, there's going to be a lot of cleanup to do in this room.
What the hell is going on?
The news! Steven Spencer's show does the news. We do it best and we do it first.
And apparently we do it with marshmallow shooters.
We do it with marshmallow shooters. Does this have... Oh, I thought it had American stars on it. It doesn't.
Those are marshmallows.
It's red, white, and blue. Yeah, gun. So there's only been one news article of note this past week.
All right.
Which if you are a true American... you would know by now. Did anybody else here watch the presidential address this week besides me?
I don't have TV.
I didn't watch, but I read about it.
You read the fucking spun version?
Yes.
Good. I watched it myself. I stopped playing Oblivion and I turned it on. And in it, Craig's shaking back and forth.
Actually, I was just thinking, what level are you at on Oblivion?
I'm 7, but I'm not going to sleep anymore, so I don't level up.
Okay.
But the president spoke to the country this week, and he said, I don't have it written down, so I'm going by memory, so if it's spun weird, sorry. I'm dual-wielding pistols. He said that they're increasing troops in Iraq by 20,000 men. Actually, it's 21,500, I think, Ross?
Yeah, something.
Something like that, more accurately. Pretty much to be able to go through the areas of Baghdad and reclaim Baghdad and kind of work out from there. There's been a lot of opposition to this from Democrats and the world. And I think in a recent online poll or something, it was like almost 70% of Americans were against the troop surge.
Even Republicans are against it.
Even Republicans are against it? Some, not all.
Not all.
Not all. McCain is still a big advocate of it. I was watching Rudy Giuliani speak, and he was talking. He was kind of making references between him cleaning up New York City and the same kind of strategy that he used for that is the same kind of strategy they're using for Iraq, supposedly.
It's a much different.
I know, but he made a reference. I'm just saying what he said, right?
Yeah.
And I figured instead of me talking about the news, I'd talk about the news through other people through me.
All right.
So I've been online the past week, posting on message boards, live journal.
Frantically.
Trying to get other people's views, see what the rest of America thinks on this. And I was trying to get all sides, trying to get kind of like the lefties' view of who oppose it, trying to get more of like a ambivalent side of like, I'm not sure, and then trying to get the right, like more of like the righties' conservative view of supporting the surge. And I had a lot of trouble. Because I'm gonna load my gun up.
Whoa!
Sorry.
Every time you shoot, Ross coughs.
It's hard to podcast. I'm getting nervous.
Sorry, you're gonna get shot with a marshmallow.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the idea. But it's like being in Baghdad, so
pretty much. I'm trying to recreate.
Severely.
I never knew
delicious.
War tasted so good.
Pow pow. Yeah. I love the taste of marshmallows in the morning.
But what I found is righties are a bunch of fucking assholes.
Shocking.
That's surprising.
I mean, real bad. I've been pretty much, I got all my lefty views and ambivalent views in the first, I don't know, 8 hours of my search. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get a conservative view for almost four days now. Mm-hmm. And I've been posting on their boards. Mm-hmm. All the righties' boards are moderated. And so most of these boards that I posted in, my post never got into. And I was very respectful, saying I need the help of conservatives. I'm trying to cover all sides of the opinion. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about the 20,000 troop surge? You know, and I pose kind of like a general argument against it, just a generalized argument.
Right.
Yeah. And no one would even post my post. And the few that did, almost no one responded. Those that did respond were lefties in the righties boards. I actually got one real response, and he was an asshole to me.
So saying, you got fucking pussies and dicks.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what the whole thing is, that they understand spin. Republicans have always done spin better than Democrats, and like conservatives have done spin better than Democrats or left-wingers. So like they, when you post that, they're like, oh, this is some either moderate or
liberal trying to spin my shit.
And they're going to take my shit, they're going to cut it up, and then they're going to spin it, or they're going to attack me with whatever my opinion is.
Well, it's also sort of conservative way of doing things for the past 8,000 years. No, seriously, like since Bush has been in office, mostly, and just a little bit before that, is they like playing the victim card. Like the whole country is being run by leftists, even though it's not. It's being run by conservatives. So that's another way for them to play the victim, is they think that they constantly believe that people are attacking them.
Yeah.
And it's a way that they have power.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I tried to cover all sides. And I got a couple of good views. A lot of them are very long, but I'm going to try to really give them justice. And these people put their time into giving comments for the show.
Who are they?
Well, I'll get there when I read them.
Okay.
Do you want me to start?
I want you to start.
All right. So this is a new attempt at news. This isn't going to be every time, just this time.
Do you want to play the loud music and shoot marshmallows everywhere again?
You want me to?
Okay, I kind of like that.
It's the news.
It's chaos. It fills the void in my life. I don't feel so hollow.
Read in anger, too.
I don't know. Never mind. My music, my iPod's all screwed up. Never mind. All right. This is my one. I'll start with the ambivalent kind of view. This is from Christy N. from Arizona. Writes while a mushroom rocket flies through the sky.
Nice.
A mushroom? Marshmallow, sorry.
A mushroom shooter.
I would love to shoot mushrooms. Do you have one of those?
My brother just got back from having to spend 2 years in Iraq. He sent pictures back from Iraq, and you would not believe the filth they are living in now. There is trash all over the streets. There is so much infrastructure still destroyed. Of course, we aren't seeing that in the mainstream media. I do agree with one thing Bush said. The Iraqi government needs to take more responsibility for rebuilding their country. We are not going to be there forever. When are they going to step up to the plate and take some of the responsibility? A few troops here and a few police officers there are not enough. I want our troops home. I am tired of sacrificing our brave men and women for another country. Selfish? You bet. Unfortunately, there are innocent people over there that have no choice but to live in the filth and squalor that the invasion caused. We do have a moral duty to help those that cannot help themselves. I believe that comes with being the wealthiest country in the world. I guess the moral dilemma comes from when one asks how long and how much do we sacrifice before enough is enough. That was Christy N. from Arizona. Thank you, Christy. Any thoughts, or is that just hard to pay attention to?
I read it earlier. And, okay. I found it very hard to pay attention to things when people read them.
Yeah,
I think that was my problem at medieval times also. Like, I can't...
With the knights reading things?
I felt like the king was reading from the script that was in his head. I found it hard to follow. But, I mean, that's good. Ambivalent view. I see.
I really like the point when she's like, selfish, you bet.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
All these people actually had, most of these people had a lot more to say. I had to cut the hell out of it. Especially from our good friend and lover and fan and friend
our
and everything.
Our number one fan.
Michael in California, who I actually emailed him, and he wrote me back about 3 pages worth of stuff. And a little too much to read.
The additional 2 pages, it was poetry.
Yeah. There was, actually, there were 6 pages of poetry after the initial 3 pages of points.
And
MP3. And
then various pictures of himself.
Yeah.
Risque poses.
Yeah, a video of him tap dancing. Or kidding, Michael. Sorry.
No, we're not.
Well, yeah. But he's pretty much as far left in my thing as you can get.
Okay.
He makes a lot of good points, very complex points, so if you don't know what's going on, it might be a little hard to wrap your head around. I cut the hell out of it, sorry. But do you want me to read this?
Absolutely.
Or you want to try reading it?
No, give it a shot. And right. Mike, thanks a lot
for the input
and sticking with
us. All
right,
Michael in California writes, "The American public, by changing the power in Congress, sent Bush a message to draw down the war. But instead, Bush is increasing the number of troops there, assuring more American casualties and deaths in the next few months. The Bush administration has tried 2 additional troop increases in the past, and it hasn't worked. There's nothing new about it. Troop increases have now come too little, too late to achieve any kind of win on the ground in Iraq. The result of Bush's precious free elections is coming back to haunt him. The people voted for a Shiite majority to run the country after the minority Sunni party, with Saddam Hussein, ruled over the majority Shiite population for the last several decades. This is where everybody's lost.
No, you were doing really well there.
Really?
I was interested until you started losing your mind.
I'm sorry.
You're reading so with vigor.
Yeah,
I'm really
are.
Trying
You're like
to.
Really enthusiastic. I like it.
The Shiite and Sunnis have been battling each other for literally 1,000 years over whose sect is the proper successor after Muhammad's death. If the U.S. aligns itself with the Sunni fighters, they're back to being on Saddam's party's side again. Osama bin Laden himself and al-Qaeda are Sunni Muslims. These are not the consequences of George... Wait, I'm sorry. These are the consequences of George Bush destabilizing the country of Iraq. 20,000 more troops are not going to solve these problems. He goes on to say, to give al-Maliki... I don't even know how to pronounce that. Al-Maliki?
That's about right.
Yeah, that's the head honcho in Iraq.
Jamal Lama.
Yeah, Jamal Lama. Yeah. And his government, billions of more dollars and more U.S. troops is rewarding bad behavior. Al-Maliki is a Shia prime minister who is effectively allowing an ethnic cleansing of Sunni Muslims in Iraq because now it's payback time. Yet Bush's team has even said there are no timelines for al-Maliki to meet any of their conditions. Over and over again, the Iraqi government and military have failed to meet the conditions set by the U.S. to run its own country. 20,000 more troops are not going to miraculously cause the Iraq government to change their personal and political agenda. This is the last desperate effort because Bush doesn't know how to undo the fuck-up he's in.
I agree with that.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So he had a lot more points. It was just, you know, maybe I should post more of like the full things in the comment section
actually,
on our Podomatic page.
That's a good idea. You still have his full thing?
I cut this down from cutting it down. I cut it down a few times.
You've been just posting what you have there on the Podomatic.
So people
page.
Can read it? All right, people can read it. If you want to read these full comments, you know, I have the little truncation marks too, with dot, dot, dots, and the little brackets. You know, I did it all pro.
Truncation marks?
I'm a fan of brackets.
Yeah, the truncation marks.
Did you design
brackets.
The font yourself?
I designed this, yeah, myself. I scanned it in into Photoshop. But if you go to the StevenSpencerShow.podomatic.com and go onto the comment section of this page, I'll put a... all these in our comments.
And if you have a view yourself, you know, please feel free.
And if you want to comment more on your own thing, Michael, you can. And any thoughts? You agree?
I don't agree with that 100%, but I like the fact that he sounded passionate about what he was talking about.
He's very passionate. That's what I like about him.
Yes.
About the issue, we've talked about it in the past weeks and stuff. If you asked me, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what to do. I think I would, not to compare myself to fucking Bush, but like, I think I'd agree. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, musically right now, I'm pretty much doing the same thing. I'm like Hail Mary passing.
You're killing Muslims.
I have no idea what the fuck to do at this point, and I don't think Bush does either. I don't think I would in his position. I'd be like, yeah, I fucked things up royally.
See, but you're willing to stand in front of the ice skating rink and cry about the fact that you don't know what you're doing. Bush is not going to do that.
Well, Bush did admit that there have been mistakes
see, that's
in the war
what,
and that it hasn't been going well.
That's
on this last address, but that's damage control.
Well, actually, the problem I have with that too is that was the headline I read on the story that I originally before the speech. They released.
What paper do you read?
Well, I actually read this on Yahoo News, which was the Associated Press. The headline on it was "Bush finally admits errors." So I was like, "Are you serious?" Because that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But when I was done reading through the article, he never actually admitted that he himself made a mistake. He still hasn't done that.
Well, he said, no, on the speech, he said, I take all responsibility. Any mistake, you know, was all because I ordered it.
Right.
I take full responsibility.
But what he was apologizing for taking full responsibility for, which was the fact that he didn't send enough troops to begin with.
Yeah, it was just a justification for sending more troops. It wasn't
an actual apology. It's kind of, you know, my ex-girlfriend used to do stuff like that to me.
Oh my God.
George Bush and my ex-girlfriend, same shit.
Gotcha. All right, we'll continue. this is actually another kind of against the surge. I'm doing a little bit more of the against just because I tried to get all sides, but I couldn't. And so this person actually had some really good comments that I really want to include as well.
Right.
And kind of puts it a little more construct. Like, Michael has a lot of good points, but this girl puts a couple more constructive elements out there.
All right.
This is from Lauren B. in Missouri. And she writes, L-O-R-E-N, that's a good girl, right? Yeah, Lauren. All right.
Lauren.
If for some reason you're a guy, I'm sorry.
I apologize. I'm sorry you're born
that
way.
Wait, who the hell took... Oh, my gun's over here.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to start with firing a marshmallow rocket. All right. Lauren B. writes, 20,000 troops is just barely over 1% of the troops already there, and I can't see how this would make much difference in a country as large as Iraq. The most fundamental flaw of this plan is that this is indeed a military solution. The problem it is trying to remedy is not a military problem, it is a political problem. America does not know enough about the problems Iraq faces to truthfully help them through. This leaves us with two possible options. One option is educating ourselves. Until we properly understand the history, the differences between Shia and Sunni, and also the relations between these groups and the Kurds, we do not know enough to help. We also have been ignoring outside contributors to the problem, like Syria and Iran. Until we sit down and talk with these nations, they will continue to feed the problem. The others is to slowly withdraw our forces. From my experience in the Middle East, I can honestly say that we are doing more harm than good there. Many say we have an obligation to see Iraq through this, yet we cannot with our ignorance. Our continued presence and misunderstanding of the Arab peoples is only angering the Middle East and will inevitably lead to further attacks on Western nations, more specifically the United States. We are powerless to help without understanding the problem. Staying and remaining ignorant will only hurt both us and the Middle East in the long run. Sorry, I screwed that up.
That's all right. I thought a demon was coming out of your throat in the middle of
it. It did. I was possessed for a couple of weeks. Oh. Feels good. I'm back.
I bet.
Thoughts?
I've been to Missouri.
Is that where she's from?
I don't like
Missouri.
It.
Missouri is how she met by the middle. She was in the Middle East, though, or he?
I don't know.
That's about the Midwest. Missouri.
The Midwest.
There was a comic book store in Missouri. I fucking hated it.
The point she talks about with Syria and Iran, Bush did mention this a little bit in his speech, saying that pretty much up to now they've been kind of holding back on, because there's been, you know, they admit there's Syrian and Iranian influence, the funding and help, you know, to support a lot of the extremist fighting going on in Iraq, and that we're not going to hold back and that we will fight back against these people now.
Right.
She's talking about having talks with them, but I think our country refuses to have talks with them right now because of the nuclear debacle, and also just because since they are kind of, in a way, at war with our troops, that they're not gonna, that they're the enemy and they're not talking with them. Is that the case? Am I explaining this right?
I think that
Ross is political expert.
Yeah, I'm the political expert on the show now. It's pretty much right. I mean, like, the reality of it is that we're screwing up so much in Iraq, and now we've got the situation with the nuclear stuff in Iran. It's like, you can't, they can't, you know, if they go right now and start to talk to Syria and Iran and start accusing, which they've begun to do,
yeah,
it's like, well, how much easier are you going to make it for Iran, Iraq, and Syria to kind of team up? Because if that happened, then we're gone. Yeah. We're gone. We got to evacuate because we're going to lose. I mean, the whole problem with it is that, like, you can't leave. You can't just take all the troops and leave. Like, we're in it now.
Well, that's where I'm at, even though I know Pete disagrees.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should do, to be honest with you.
I think
the first President Bush, that's what he did. He just pulled all the troops out of there.
Yeah, but we hadn't fully gone in. I mean, we were really on the verge. Schwarzkopf wanted to go in. He still stands by that we should have went in the first thing and plowed through.
I think we should have never went in at all, to be honest with you.
We got up
we're
to
past
the point
that, though.
We
yeah, no.
literally got up to the city and left. And we should slowly kind of pull out, but not... We shouldn't add more troops, but we can't just completely leave because that'll throw everything into turmoil. We should just slowly pull out and be like, listen, you guys have to take the responsibility. A big part of it is that they haven't really properly trained the troops, and they haven't properly trained people to take over. And so, you know, al-Maliki or whatever his name is, that guy isn't even confident in the work that he's doing, because the fact of the matter is he's kind of a pawn to the situation.
Pretty much.
We have to be like, listen, you guys have to take over. And I think the thing that people don't fully get, or that the U.S. hasn't accepted, is that more than likely there's going to be a civil war.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how long we're there, when we leave, there is going to be a civil war. The question is, will the U.S. train the people that are still going to be there to properly handle it and properly take it on so that they don't lose power? And, you know, they're focusing on the wrong things, and they're, you know, they're sending more troops in, and there's all different kinds of stuff that happens that isn't talked about with the uranium depleted, like, you know, bullets and things like that. Those things affect our troops. Our troops are coming home sick now.
Yeah.
So we got to get out. We got to get out, but we can't just leave, because if we just leave, then it's going to be like, this is the U.S.'s fault.
Like, but I feel like it's going to be like that no matter what. I mean, I don't think they'll ever pull all the troops out of there, ever. But I think the Civil War is going to happen. I think it's going to be blamed on America no matter what. And why should it not be? You know?
Well, I think it was going to happen either way. I think us sticking our nose in it just made the situation worse.
I don't think the Civil War is... It's not... I don't think it's our fault. I think we helped bring it about. We would help. We were big. Like, we lit the... You know, the fuse is there, and we lit it.
I think that was also part of the point, was to shake things up over there.
Yeah.
They don't... The U.S. government wants no one getting too powerful, especially when they have all of our oil.
Of course.
Yeah.
But what I say to you is you say, if it was up to you, you want to pull out everybody. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, what do you say to the whole thing of shit would really go to, like, even more to hell? At that point, pretty much Iran would probably take over and almost... Iran and Syria would then really pull their influence into Iraq.
I'd say,
at that point,
fuck it, it's not our problem.
It's already going on. Right.
It's like
angle.
Like
I say seriously.
I mean, it's not our problem. It is our we brought it about. Mm-hmm. It's like going in fucking burning someone's house down. They're standing in the street and you go, sorry, and leave.
Yes. Fuck it, we shouldn't have been involved in the first place.
I see that as kind of like, it doesn't matter if you shouldn't be involved in the first. That was a problem I had with the leftist boards, people posting, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. It's like, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, we shouldn't have been there in the first place, but that's not the point. We are. It's a null point. You want to fucking bring up war crimes.
What do you think about it, put the 20,000 more troops? Which, by the way, it's not officially happening either.
Really? I thought it was definitely happening.
No, it has to go through... Does it have to go to Congress?
No. Congress. The only thing Congress can stop is the only thing Congress can stop is the funding of these troops. Yeah. And if they do that, they won't do that, because that will put them in a politically shit position. Because it's like you're sending these people over there now without funding and proper equipment, and they will.
All right, so
it's a
definite thing then. 20,000 troops are
definite.
Going.
And the
it's
other
definite.
Issue is, I'm not sure how it plays out, but I know that people are going for a third tour, and I don't know if that's a part of the additional 20,000 or if they're sending troops for a third tour and then. There's an additional 20,000 troops. So, yeah, I mean, there are people being sent over a third time, which is ridiculous.
So, Dean.
Yeah.
Now that you read all these. Well,
I didn't finish reading all of them, but I'll get there.
Read the last one.
Well, there's kind of two more.
Yeah.
All right. This is the only righty comment I can get online, and they were a douche. So, screw you, Mahamab Daba.
Are you serious?
They didn't give me their real name.
Wow.
They didn't give me their name. It was just Yahoo user Mahamab Daba writes, I support the president and support his effort to rebuild Iraq. I do not believe the admittedly failed attempt at stabilizing the region is close to reality. That is making the assumption that a few nutcases with bombs are a threat to an entire nation and rebuilding effort. Cough, cough. Yes. The left are against anything Bush says and does. They will downplay and negate anything needed to bring the people of Iraq into a working democracy. The backlash by the left and the media is killing U.S. servicemen and women. The enemy can read their marching orders right off the New York Times daily. I doubt you read this news group, so it really doesn't matter. Your so-called poll is so skewed, it's not even funny. Fuck you, Mahamab Daba. Because you're just an idiot and an asshole. And not that it's funny, because it's not that I even disagree with some of his points.
He's just a douchebag.
You're just... Why are righties such assholes?
They stand firm, and...
The thing, and I even responded that... I'm not skewing a poll.
Right.
Like, the argument I gave them was just the general kind of... there's two arguments on both sides. Just giving the general argument. And I said the other side, for the lefties, I'm asking the same kind of general argument. You know, I'm just looking for a response.
It's because he's expecting to be attacked for it.
Yeah.
With that, I have to take a piss, so I'll be back. You guys talk.
All right. And so Ross is taking over.
All right, I'll take
that. Sorry. That's all right. Well, doesn't ask you is... Now that you read these,
I have one last small one from my father, but we'll get there.
Well, what is your personal opinion on the thing?
On what he said?
On what you feel about it.
I'm slightly ambivalent, but I'm definitely not for pulling out. Like, pretty much what I feel is, also things are a little skewed in my head. Of like, in my head, like I know well, this is all.
I'm mostly oblivion.
Yeah,
but also,
I understand that all our reasons are, you know, American self-interest driven. In my head, I go, well, maybe it's a percent humanitarian driven, even though it's really not.
Yeah.
But I kind of see it at this point as almost a humanitarian effort. In a way, I know that looks. You look at me like I'm crazy, but
whatever gets you through.
Yeah, I'm never for a war. I wasn't for this war. Now that we're there, we fucked everything up. Pretty much the way they described the extra 20,000 people was that they're going through these areas that they clean. You know, they clean out whatever sex that they say they clean out, and then they leave, and then it just refills back up. You know, with these people just come back.
Right.
And that the 20,000 extra people are just to help bolster and keep troops there so that doesn't happen, so they can create a network of pretty much cleaned areas to then kind of combine and be the center of Iraq and kind of flow its influence out.
Yeah. It's you got to think that, these militant, non-militants, they're not wearing uniforms. There's no way to tell.
They're wearing Iraqi police uniforms too. American. There was a whole thing where they actually were buying American uniforms they could fit in or something. And
wow,
yeah, or Iraqi police uniforms, something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, if you go on YouTube or if you go on break, aside from the Saddam video, there's video of the troops going through the streets, like driving military, you know, convoys and stuff. And being attacked, and you can see, like, that it's so, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but like, there's no indication that the group sitting on the corner on 9th Street is militant, and the corner on 8th Street that group isn't. It's just a matter of they literally drive past, and next thing you know, three guys scatter, and one guy from the back throws a grenade or a bomb. I mean, like, that's what they're dealing with over there, and it sucks. You know, it's just like
it's a rough situation, right? Because it's one thing you want to be like, all right, let's just get out, but at the same time, it's like there's still people being just fucking murdered over there, like just regular fucking people being murdered by people.
The other thing I was thinking about is he made this speech. It's 20,000 troops, which everyone's saying is really not that much. It's a political move. All
right.
It's all sort of like, you know, like look at me, I'm trying to do something. Here's 20,000 troops. And so also trying to get people like you that are ambivalent to be like, oh, yeah, we should send more troops over there. Why not? Solve the problem.
I don't think 20,000 is going to solve the problem. But I'm not for, like, at this. It's kind of like I'm in the place of, like, if they think they need some more help, if there's a chance, then I don't know. It's such a thing, like, I don't really think it's going to make an impact, really. But I'm not for just pulling out, and it's the only other, you know, it's like no one's else is given other choices. It's like there's two sides. Put some more people in there or pull out. And it's like, what are you left with?
Well, what are the other choices? I have no idea.
I think there were some recommendations and some report, which I can look up. I don't have it near me or in my head anywhere, but.
Yeah. And the other problem with the 20,000 is that, like, they don't need to bring in 20,000 more people. They need to get 20,000 people that are there to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is our country. This is how we're going to take care of it. We can't just keep saturating their country with our people. I mean, like, they have to take the reins, you know. And concerning the right winger, it's funny that he or she makes all those statements, and like, it's like, well, you're not going to listen to it anyway. And then it's like, well, you know,
did you even
300 years our country's been around for, and like, freaking, this thing's been going on for 1,000 years, and like, you know, the whole thing has been going on for like, what, 5,000 years. So we're supposed to bring in democracy in 5 years, and everyone's just gonna go, okay, we're just gonna get rid of everything we've been doing for 1,000 years.
I take this total nihilistic point of view, and I know a lot of other people do, a lot of people don't, but I just think that, and it's not because I'm a moron. I seriously think we should switch to nuclear energy and just fucking get out and let them annihilate each other. And then whoever's left is going to annihilate the next group until there's like
it's just a matter of knowing that there's people there that want to live a regular fucking life.
And humans,
being slaughtered humans. By.
I know.
That's what I was talking about, being desensitized.
I just think that it's so out of control. There's not, Ross is right. It's exactly what Ross said. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, and they're going
to
do
George Bush is brave enough to change it. I love George.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you're going to make a real fucking difference. Like, nothing has gotten better.
It's
obviously, nothing has gotten better.
These 20,000 troops are also supposed to be both becoming part of the Iraq police force and not part of so much an American military force. It's actually bolster the Iraqi police force that's there to give them the extra men to really be able to hold these places on their own with, like, kind of Americans are working for them.
Right, and so they're expecting that they're going to get the training from the American troops, then eventually our guys will come home and it'll be fine. It's bullshit.
Well,
I don't think they think it's going to be fine.
I think they're just trying to get enough of a backbone there to ensure that, or try to ensure that it's just not going to go into fucking flames and then you find a fucking, like, extremist nation rising out of it.
I think it's bullshit. Because you're, like, a mother sending her son over there and, like, in hopes to make a difference to someone else's family's life and everything. They're, like, so they're going to spend all this time over there. And let's just say they go over there and it's like, okay, we have the police in effect. Things are getting better. Can we come home now? And they're like, no, you're doing a really good job. We think that it'll fall apart if you come home. We need to just stay there 8 more years. Until things are, like, really, really solid. Then 8 years go by. Can we come home now?
That's the choice of being in the military, and that's why, you know, at least, you know, that's why.
But I'm sure
they're braver than you are.
But no, but I'm sure they
didn't expect this.
Of course
not. No one expects it, but, you know, you sign up for the military, and you're doing it, and if you can technically leave. I mean, yeah, you'll be breaking laws, but.
Exactly.
But
these
people are. I don't want to talk about them because they're putting themselves out there for something. You know, whatever it is, they're risking their fucking lives doing it.
Right. So. No. And I've gone up to troops that I've seen here and shaken
and
their hands.
Them?
No, I've shaken their half rocked them. I've shaken their hands. I said, thank you for protecting the country. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I totally support the troops, but I think it really sucks and it's really sad when someone's, like, away from their family that much and they can't come back, or, like, they're going to get fucked because this other fucking idiot can't control themselves and just keeps destroying things over there.
Of course.
It's like, fuck those people.
That gets into the final comment, which I went to from my father.
All right.
Who is actually, he's a Vietnam veteran, so he has his, you know, he sees things in a certain light. I was kind of throwing, like, back and forth with him some of the things other people said. And he said, it's fine to have dissent about the war, but the American people should stand behind their president and troops. The amount of backlash to this war is only going to create the same situation as Vietnam, where funding and support for our troops were cut and put American soldiers in danger. And he says that, you know, he fears that same thing happening now and people losing their lives because of such lack of support. You know, that happened with Vietnam, and that's why, you know, he talks about a lot how so many of his, you know, he lost a lot of friends and whatever, and just because there were just... Such dissent against the whole war, and I was backing it, and it was done so wrong that instead of just taking them home, they were cutting funding. And
why wouldn't, with that being said, obviously that was a mistake of the past. Why don't we learn from it and just pull them back home?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that people are against the war is not the reason the Vietnam War went to shit.
It was still
like a pretty much known situation. I'm not saying, but he was just talking about the amount of backlash happening. He fears it puts more troops' lives at risk.
If the government is smart, they'll learn from history, and they'll just, if they're gonna do that, they're gonna bring them home instead of doing that.
Learning from history, what we did with Iraq is very similar to what we did with Afghanistan, and that's not fucking working. So we didn't learn from history from 2 years before this war started. So, I mean, I don't know.
That's why I say we switch to a different energy source, and we let them fucking annihilate each other, because it's
until
not
the
working.
Zombie apocalypse.
His final paragraph of the news, which my father said... if Iraq is not secured, Iran will take it over with radical Islamic sects, making it a breeding ground for more terrorists. If military generals say that a plan is needed with more troops, give them what they need. Also, Iran and Syria are aiding the extremists, and we should be putting sanctions on them. And that was news.
I really like your father's comments the best, just because he's got experience. He's been there.
Yeah. I don't discredit any of it with the funding. It's already happened. We were improperly funded when they went there.
Yeah,
people didn't have the proper.
But that wasn't from Backlash, though. I think that was just from
idiots. No, that was just from going in into, yeah, going in too fast, like promising the troops, but the troops not having the proper materials, whether it was proper armor on the tanks and the vehicles to, to proper, you know, like body armor to camelbacks to hydration packs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of, there's been a lot of grassroots stuff where the families have been sending materials and now even, you know, they say to send silly string because they can find the wire, the filament wires for the bombs.
Really?
When I was working at the video store, we used to send porno to the troops.
Really?
No kidding. Yeah.
No shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hardly feel that's going to help in fighting the war.
No, I think it helps.
I think it's a distraction.
Yeah, they might be a little too relaxed. We're looking pretty aggressive.
Everything's all right.
I'm tired. Just want a burrito.
Let's calm down.
Burrito.
Everyone shit out. No, it's fucked, man. It's a sad situation. I really do.
It's the kind of thing where it doesn't seem that, you know, like, you just have to hope for the best because there's no directly, there's no good end immediately.
In my opinion,
either way.
If we were in their position and someone was helping us or trying to help us, I would seriously look at it the same way and be like, listen, there are so many of us that are so fucked and destructive. Like, we're all fucked. Don't let us take down your good nation and, like, cause problems because we can't fucking control ourselves. Like, I admit there's so many good people over there, their culture, as well as fucked up terrorists and all that shit. And I'm sure really good people, thousands are going to die and millions, whatever, but they're tearing us down by their inaction. And
I think they're fucked without us, and they're kind of fucked with us. That's why. But
that's why I say
I'm
don't let them fucking tear us down. I support the troops, but I think don't let them tear down our good people with their shitty people.
Well, the whole argument is that if we don't, you know, if we don't help them now, that we'll be fucked in the end anyways too. That there'll be bigger problems to deal with.
Can't, like,
Pete's
soldiers,
losing his head.
Can't a whole bunch of soldiers, like, go to fight, and then, like, a whole bunch of them just, like, all right, fucking suck out all the oil, and then, like, running it in, like, cups, and there's been...
that way there's no more self-interest over there, and then they can say, fuck it, and you guys kill yourselves, this ain't no humanitarian effort, screw yourself.
Exactly.
You're all a bunch of assholes.
Sorry.
On that, you want to end?
all right, well, what do we... next week...
Next week, I don't have anything planned. The only thing I know is Battlestar Galactica... The series, the new series, the best show on television, comes back.
You're very psyched.
So I'm going to be planning a fucking sci-fi show. I don't know about you guys.
I'm gay Alex. Actually, it's oh, yeah. Is gay Alex going to be here?
I don't know.
Okay, no. Siobhan's friend gay Alex is probably going to be here, so we might have gay Alex on. He's psychotically anti-circumcision, so we might have an anti-circumcision sci-fi
that
show.
Sounds weird to me.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
I think we should have a lighter episode next week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting into this. Twilight Games puts out a role-playing game called Zombies. I'm thinking about possibly getting into that and picking up the Pirates game to distract myself from my otherwise
from
meaningless life.
All right.
Pete, what are you doing? Anything?
My new album's going to be out on the internet, but I'll talk about it in the show.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You are a man of mystery.
I try.
You didn't bring that up.
Any last thoughts, Ross?
Come on, Ross, hit it hard.
I got nothing.
Hit it hard. What are you gonna do next week?
What am I gonna do? I'm gonna do a cook day, and
Ross
I'm
is going, personal chef.
I'm gonna attempt to go to a gym and try to find a gym to work out.
That's excellent.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm actually a quick little plug. Siobhan is desperately seeking a good guitarist. So
New Jersey, New York City area.
In the New Jersey, tri-state area.
Say 14-year-old? The 14-year-old?
No, 14 months. I want a pro, baby.
14-year-old.
What do you want to do in 14 months?
She wants to be a professional swimmer in 14 months.
All right, Siobhan wants to be a professional swimmer, so if you're a guitarist, contact her at myspace.com/... Siobhan Rose.
The guitarist has to be at least 14 like months old.
And oh yeah, you can't spell it, so it's S-I-B-V-O-N, Siobhan Rose. And again, Matt was on the show, so check him out at Kevin Patrick.
We're going to end with some... it's kind of a melancholy song.
Really? We're not going out? You're a bastard.
I am a bastard.
You really are. That would be such a great way to go out. Dean's nixing my go-out music.
This is Billy Bragg and Wilco off Mermaid Avenue.
All right. See you.
Bye.
I lived in a place called Ofusky, and I had a little girl in a hollow tree. I said, little girl, it's plain to see,
Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. She said it's hard for me to see how one little boy got so ugly. Yes, my little girlie, that might be. But there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. We walk down by the Buckeye Creek. You see the froggy, the goggle-eyed bee. You hear that west wind whistle to the east. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Oh, my little girlie, will you let me see? Way over yonder where the wind blows free. Nobody can see in our hollow tree. And there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. Cut a switch from a cherry tree and laid it on to she and me. She stung lots worse than a hive of bees. But there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Now I've walked a long, long way. Still look back to my Tanglewood days. I've led lots of girls since then to stray. Saying ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me.